Next Sunday, Brother Marcus, me and Brother Bobby are going to sing. No, me and Faye will sing. Right, Faye? I'll pick out one, you know. All right. All right, so me and Faye are going to sing. Yeah. And maybe Jesus Loves Me, but we're going to sing it. All right. In fact, that might be the song, you know. All right. I'll let you off the hook, Brother Bobby. All right. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 19. I know your bulletin may say verse 18. I know your bulletin may say 19, but we're going to begin in verse 18. It's been 2 weeks since we've been together, so I thought about giving you about an hour, okay? So it would be Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. I want to talk to you about three holy groans. And I'll talk about the groan you have when you get up in the morning. Three holy groans right here in this text that we all look forward to. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 18. Paul says, by the way, I love chapter 8. I love all the book of Romans. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can I get an amen there? Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now that's talking about us, okay? But listen to what verse 22 says. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Now, the best rendering in the Greek is we are saved in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with the patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, or himself, maketh intercession for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Father, I pray this morning you encourage us by these three holy groans that we see in our text. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. There are three holy groans in this passage. There in verse 19, verse 22, you may be seated. Verse 23, excuse me, and verse 26. Three holy groans. Let's look at the first one, first of all. By the way, as chapter 8 is all about the believer's future glory, because we have been freed from the penalty of sin, the penalty of sin, which is death, has been taken away from us. There is no condemnation for us. Romans 8:1. Now therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And being co-heirs with Christ and co-sufferers with Christ, verses 17 and 18, we groan to have this glory. Now, what are we talking about when the Bible says groan? It's talking about an anxious expectation. It's talking about a longing and anticipation. Groaning speaks of being delivered from a painful, unsatisfactory, or unsatisfying, sorrowful experience. So we note three holy groans. Number one, the groan of creation. In verses 19 through 22, we read that a while ago. But let's read verse 22 again. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. When God finished creation, he says in Genesis 1:31, everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. It was a good creation. But what happened? Somebody tell me. Sin came into the world. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and the whole creation. And all of mankind, for all of Adam's posterity, fell into a sin of curse of sin. In Adam all die. In Adam all die, and Christ all live, right? You see in your text and your bulletin. Now, that's what happened. A fall of Adam and Eve plunged the whole creation into a curse. Now, I want you to notice some words here, and I'm going to give them to you quickly. Notice the word Paul uses to describe creation's groaning. Verse 18, he says suffering. Verse 20, he speaks about vanity. Verse 21, he speaks about bondage. He speaks about decay in verse 21 also, and pain in verse 22. When we see or hear a volcano, a tsunami, an earthquake, a hurricane, whether it be Irma or whether it be Harvey, whatever it might be, whatever you see, you are witnessing two things. Now, the world doesn't understand what's happening in our world with Irma and with Harvey. And they come up with these questions. I don't know how many times I saw on Fox News website somebody writing an article about where is God, right? They don't want to know where God is until something bad happens, right? Where is God? How can a loving God allow people to suffer like this? Well, it goes back to the fall, folks. It goes back to Adam's sin. Sin came into the world, caused suffering and death, right? In Adam, all die. Remember, Jesus said this in Luke 13. They were talking about the tower that fell and talking about Herod that had killed some of the worshipers' blood there, and killed them and mixed the blood there on the temple. And they said, were these worse sinners than others? And Jesus says, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Right? It's because of the fall. They want to blame God. They want to blame global warming. Right? By the way, global warming, let me tell you, and I'm going to tell you one time, that's all I'm going to tell you anymore. Global warming has been debunked by the greatest creation scientist on the face of the earth today. And so they changed the name from global warming to climate change. It's just a subtle change, but they're meaning the same thing. So they blame it on global warming. They blame it on Trump. You know? You heard about the liberal actor, I think it's a female actor, that said that, this is what she said. She said, Mother Nature is angry at Trump for getting out of the Paris Accord. So therefore, Mother Nature is angry. Now, come up front now. Listen to me, children in school, okay? There is no such thing as Mother Nature. There is God's creation, okay? And God's creation is not angry at Trump. You can take that off Trump, okay? Okay, so they come up with all kinds of things here. I heard a preacher say the other day, a preacher that I respect says, well, I don't believe these things are the judgment of God. I think that these things just happen. Hello. And every time you see a natural disaster, you're witnessing two things. Number one, you're witnessing birth pains to the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24:8. Y'all know these things. These are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows there is talking about birth pains. In fact, all these natural disasters are signs, they're birth pains for the coming of the Lord. They are what you call this, let me say it this way, the world is pregnant for judgment. Okay? And that's what's happening. A mother's birth pains gets what? More severe and more frequent, right? I know mine did when I had my first child. You know, they get more frequent and more severe. And that's what we see today, folks. Creation, what we're seeing is birth pains. The world is pregnant for judgment. And you also see it in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, okay? Now, the world's not going to understand that. They think that you would be off your rocker when you say something like that, okay? They're not going to understand you when you tell them that. But so just say this. Why are these things happening? Just say it's not global warming, it's sin, okay? That's your best answer, okay? A second thing we see and why these things are happening is you are witnessing creation groaning to be delivered in verses 19 through 22. Creation has a curse from man's fall, and it will continue to decay. See, God created this universe with the appearance of age. A tree was a full-grown tree with seed in it, right? Adam was a full-grown man, right? The chicken laid the egg after God created it, right? Okay? And by the way, let me go ahead and tell you, Adam did not have a belly button, but his descendants did. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, right? But his descendants had a... I know you've been worrying about that all week, where that came from, but that, I just want to answer that for you. And this present heavens and earth will continue to decay. I forgot the name of the word, Larry. You might help me here. The law of thermodynamics. Anyway, anything left to itself is going to decay over time. So this universe is winding down as God intended it to do. Man is not going to destroy the planet. God is. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, after the millennium. So it's deteriorating. It had the appearance of age. And creation will not be delivered till the believer is delivered. Look in verse 19, if you will. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And one day the curse will be lifted when Christ establishes his 1,000-year millennial reign. And we're going to have a new restored Garden of Eden in heaven on earth. So we have creation groaning. That's what's happening, folks. That's what you see in the world. Birth pains. The world is pregnant for judgment. And you see creation groaning to be delivered. Okay. Secondly, not only do we have the groan of creation, but secondly, the groan of believers in verses 23 through 25. Notice verse 23. Why do Christians groan? Look in verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So Christians here, we've tasted the glory of God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the first fruits. And what is yet to come is the redemption of our body. We have spiritual resurrection, but we yet have not experienced the physical glorified resurrection of our bodies. We've got to die first, right? And so we've tasted this glory, but we have the first fruits living within us. And we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you three things that happen to you because you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God in regard to groaning, okay? Longing, earnest expectation, remember? What is it that we are groaning for? Well, number one, we're groaning to see the Lord, amen? We're groaning to see the Lord. I don't know about you, but I could care less who's elected president next. I'm just glad I know who it won't be, right? But I'm groaning to see the Lord, right? He's placed that within us, the first fruits of our redemption, right? And then also we groan to get our heavenly body. Can I get an amen there? Man, I'm glad I don't have to go to heaven with this body, right? Man, I'm like y'all. I wake up with a new pain and a new ache every day, right? And I don't want to go to the doctor because he might tell me I'm sick, you know? So we groan to see the Lord, we groan to get our heavenly body, and we groan to worship and serve him forever. That's why we groan. We eagerly await the redemption of our body. See, this is what this passage is talking about. We are awaiting the redemption of our body. When you got saved, your spirit was redeemed. He quickened your spirit that was dead to him. But now, yet, there's a time yet future when he's going to redeem the body. When we go to the graveside like we did with our nephew, Robbie Simmons, he was a believer, and Pat McCorkle was a believer. That's not the end. There's a hope of the resurrection of the body. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And so we are waiting for all these things. That's what we groan for. So I ask you today, do you have holy groans? Do you have holy groans? Okay, I mean, that's a rhetorical question. Don't answer me. We have. Okay, all right. Well, if I ask it three times, then you answer me, okay? Do you have holy groans? Well, that's my first time on the second round here, okay? Do you have holy groans? And I ain't going to ask it a third time because Nancy will say something, right? But we eagerly await the redemption of our body when Christ returns. We are adopted into God's family. We're born into God's family as children of God. Right? We're born again. But we are adopted as adult sons who have all the privileges of sonship. Right? Everyone here who is a believer has adult standing before God. The Bible speaks of that. Okay? I don't care when you got saved. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you know. There are certain things that we all have. Right? We have adult sonship in the presence of God. And we're awaiting our bodily redemption. I heard somebody on the radio the other day giving a teaching. And they talked about, how can it be that someone believes that homosexuality is okay? How can it be that someone believes that gay marriage is okay and yet call themselves a Christian? The person said it this way, and I never thought about it this way. They need to check up on their papers. What papers? Their adoption papers, right? You cannot. It's incompatible with Christianity. Right? Now you can say something, Nancy. Say amen. All right? It's incompatible. And it's amazing to me how some people claim to be supporting a party that supports all these things and yet calls themselves a Christian. They need to check up on their papers, right? On their adoption papers. Notice verse 24 and 25. We wait and we have hope. While we're waiting for our redemption of our body, we're waiting in hope. Look in verse 24. For we are saved by hope, or just put in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, right? That's what Hebrews tells us. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Right now we're hoping for our resurrected body, but when we have it, there's nothing else to hope for, right? As far as the body goes. Verse 25, for we hope for that which we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. Right now we suffer with Christ. But one day we're going to glory with him and we're going to have this redemption that this passage is speaking about. Right now our suffering is temporary. But this hope is eternal, right? And the sons of God will one day be clothed with immortal and corruptible bodies. Amen? Forever and forever. There's two occupations that'll be without in heaven. That's a preacher. We'll all know everything. And that's a doctor, right? We won't be, and I might, if I could say, we won't need no lawyers either. Okay. All right. Right. Notice 24. For in hope we have been saved. Now, why do I say in? Best rendering of the Greek says in hope. Well, this does not imply that we're saved by hope. Paul says we're saved by grace through faith, right? Hope comes after you're saved, right? Hoping for these things that are yet eternal that we're waiting for. Hope is inseparable from salvation. We are saved in hope and not by hope. If that's the case, everybody would be saved because everybody's hoping for something, right? But we're saved in hope, waiting for this redemption of our body. Once the promise of bodily redemption is complete, we will no longer hope in that, right? Because we will have it. So we groan, as creation groans, the believer groans. But then thirdly, lastly, the Holy Spirit groans. I want to show you two of the most misinterpreted passages in the Bible, in verse 26 and 27. Look at it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities. By that word, likewise, you know, it lets you know it's connected to the previous verses, three holy groans. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities. How? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there when you didn't know what to pray for? I've been there a lot. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself making intercession for us. When you're in that situation you don't want to pray for, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. Okay? Now, we're going to interpret this passage just like it's written, okay? For you, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay? He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't always pray according to the will of God, but the Holy Spirit will pray for us for the will of God. Amen? This is a wonderful passage right here. The Holy Spirit groans on our behalf as he sees our sufferings and our pain. He groans for the restoration of creation and for Christ's eternal kingdom, and he groans for you, praying for you to the Father according to the will of God. But he not only groans, but he prays for us when we don't know what to pray for in our suffering. He intercedes for us by the will of God. Okay? Now, we encounter this difficulty many times. We don't know what to pray for and how to pray for. And I know you think that your pastor knows what to say every time, but I don't. There are times I have prayed, God, I don't know what to pray for in this situation. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will intercede the throne on my behalf and pray for me. Pray for me. And God has given us the Holy Spirit for these times, right? Now, question, what is this groaning here that the Holy Spirit does? Now, this groaning here is not the believer's utterances in an unknown tongue or prayer language, private prayer language, but rather divine communication between the Spirit and the Father that is not audible. It says it can't be uttered, right? It's not audible. It can't be put into words. But notice it says the Spirit is interceding for us, not through us. Are you with me? Let's read it like it's written. It's not you groaning. It's the Holy Spirit groaning for you before the Father, for you, not in you. Or, you know, through us, right? This does not teach a private prayer language or a private tongue that you pray. It's the work of the Holy Spirit praying for you, right? Isn't that what the text says? So it is the Spirit. We have the Spirit and the Son's intercessory work on the cross. That is the sustaining work that makes possible the preservation and the perseverance of believers till we get to ultimate glory. Right? You have the Spirit praying for you. You have the Son who died intercessory work on the cross for you, and who is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. That is called the preservation and the perseverance of the saints. I don't use the term once saved, always saved, because you know how that sounds to a lost person? When you tell a person, I believe in once saved, always saved, you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about that person that goes to church every Sunday and acts like the devil. And they're thinking, well, I mean, I could go to church and I'm okay. No, that's not what it means. We're talking about the preservation and the perseverance of the saints. We're talking about the doctrine of eternal salvation. Don't use that term anymore with lost people. Once saved, always saved, because they'll look at that weakest member of the church and how they work with them and what they see them do, and they think, just because I go to church and walk an aisle, I'm saved. Are y'all with me? By the way, that phrase is not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is the doctrine of eternal security and the preservation and the perseverance of the saints. This is what I'm going to begin soon teaching some of the men at the YMCA that me and Henry Ganey teach on Wednesdays. He's got one more week to go. Then I'm going to teach them the doctrine of eternal security. Okay? So these are wonderful verses here. Three holy groans. Remember that. When you don't know what to pray, just ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you to the Father. And he's not going to pray out of the will of God, right? So the believer the Spirit is interceding for us. The believer is waiting and groaning to be clothed with our heavenly body. Pray tell me, if you're not having these three holy groans, what are your groans, right? And then creation to be lifted from the curse, right? Folks, you have the answer now. You can go out and you can tell people who blame this on Trump. Tell them what's really happening. It's sin, right? The world is pregnant for judgment. Creation is waiting to be delivered, right? and go out and tell them the truth. How many of you noticed your bulletin? I want everybody to look up their bulletin. Open your bulletin. I hope I got it in this one. If I don't, I have egg on my face. What have I got on that bulletin underneath the very first words? What, Trinity Baptist Church? Open your bulletin. Right? What's underneath that? Unleashing God's people with God's truth. Right? That's why we're here, right? Okay? We have the answers. And we need to give them to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you especially for Romans chapter 8. Lord, we thank you for we have the answers. We know what this is all about. We know why it's happening, and we know where we're headed. There may be one here without Christ, has never confessed their sins, never understood that they needed to be saved, and never repented of their sins, never placed their faith alone or in Christ alone for salvation, depending on his work on the cross, dying as our substitute in our place, and have never asked Christ to come into their heart as Lord and Savior. Today we ask him to do that. Don't wait. The birth pains are going to get stronger, and they're going to get more severe. And according to what Jesus said in Luke 13, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So, Father, do your work today. Whatever it might be, someone might need to move that church membership and unite with us. Someone might need to be baptized. Lord, whatever it is, altar's open for whatever business needs to be taken care of today. We thank you for this text today that we've looked at. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.